Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm talking to you again from Sydney. I'll be in Byron Bay this weekend, then back in Sydney next week for next week's Money and Market. We're having a great lunch at the Fish Cafe in Sydney with Jason Bowden-Smith, and that's open to the public, so I hope you can come if you're in the environment. And then I'm off on June 17th to Hong Kong for a week, and then the following week in Bangladesh with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who's going to help us discuss the question of how do we enforce the Constitution when the government's breaking it. Then I'm going to be flying back to San Francisco, and we'll record some very juicy news trends and stories for the second quarter wrap-up with Dr. Farrell, and we'll update our administration report card. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. We're also going to talk a little bit about the deep trends. I want to bring you back and make sure we're focused on what's really important. Then at the request of subscribers, we're having a lunch in Marin at Perry's in Larkspur on July 8th. So I hope to see you there if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we still have several places open in the Australia trip in Uluru in May 2018. So check that out on the website. That's going to be Richard Dolan, Jason Bowden-Smith, and myself. And then finally, prayer books still available. You can learn more about it. It's free on the website, salieri.com. Just send us a email, call, or send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send them back to you. Our theme tonight is global slowdown, global insecurity, because there's no doubt the political insecurity is in part emanating from the economic slowdown. You see the signs everywhere. It's very interesting today. Australia had worked very hard to help negotiate the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the minister who was the architect of Australia's participation. Big brouhaha here in Sydney in the Australian Financial Review. He just got hired at $800,000 plus a year. That's a $73,000 a month retainer, hired by a Chinese investor who's focused on the Silk Route. So you can see the Chinese, you know, what the Americans don't follow through. The Chinese scarf up the talent and the flow swings towards China. There's no doubt that the big changes in policies between the Obama administration and the Trump administration are creating insecurity globally. First, it was the cancellation of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Then now it's the cancellation of the Paris Accord. Frankly, in both cases, the leadership got way out beyond the laws of the country, sort of the country, the Constitution, and the process of bringing people in, and if you look at the economics, they were seriously win-lose between the general population and the leadership. So you had very serious non-alignment. So it's not surprising that there was a snapback. At the same time, if you look at what's happening among the G20, there's a lot more that's coming together. So the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank has had a very successful meeting. The St. Petersburg meeting has gone very well, with Modi as sort of the star guest. Probably by now you've watched the interviews of Megyn Kelly of Putin and also moderating a panel with Putin. And it's very interesting to watch because Megyn Kelly is clearly on the two-track American model and Vladimir Putin in the audience are focusing in a 26-track world. And the two tracks just doesn't make it and looks ridiculous. Frankly, for me, it's very painful to watch because the crowd really enjoyed seeing a two-track American media star be held responsible for their very irresponsible behavior. But I have to say Trump's inexperience and his temper is also creating insecurity. And some of that is legitimate, some is not. Unfortunately, we're going to have to listen to a lot more rounds of this as James Comey is testifying today. And there's been a big brouhaha coming in as he published his statement a day before his testimony, which is not an unusual thing to do. It's not unusual to have your prepared remarks in writing ahead of time. Despite all the shrieking, there's no there there from a legal standpoint, whether on Russian interference or Trump's trying to encourage Comey to go, you know, this way or that way. What is very certain is that Washington witch hunting is steadily doing significant harm to the American brand and standing in the world. And I think at this point, it's very serious. So America is a super, you know, is the unipolar power, and yet it doesn't have a national strategy. And Washington is not emerging one. And unless the Trump administration is able to evolve, particularly with the help of Tillerson and some of the other members of the cabinet, into a serious presence in the world, America's brand and standing is just going to keep falling. There's a very good interview this week by Paul Jay of Real News Network with Bill Curry, who's a former counselor to Bill Clinton and worked at the White House when Clinton was president. And it's very interesting to watch because Curry's a smart guy and a concerned guy, but it's amazing his naivete and denial on certain points, and how somebody who's that smart and educated, who's got a lot of insight on many points, could be that completely naive about his own group of people and systems. So, for example, he says, Russia's a place where people murder their opponents and use violence against their opponents, basically implying that that never happens at the United States. It's, you know, and this is a guy who worked for the Clintons, and to think that he's this clueless, that Victor Thorne mysteriously committed suicide, ho, 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 last summer, and Victor Thorne has the definitive book on all the assassinations associated by the Clintons. So, you know, he implies in Russia, reporters get killed. Well, reporters get killed in America all the time. And he talks about, we have due process and the Russians don't. Having lived through 18 audits and investigations, and numerous smear campaigns and physical harassment under the Clintonistas, his naivete about what he's part of is just, it's so frightening, because we're talking about dumbing, not just dumbing down the population, but now a very severely dumbed down leadership despite their intelligence. So, but it's a perfect example of this. There's a comment from one subscriber I thought I'd read, which was particularly intelligent, and it describes the implosion of many of the parts of the Democratic Party, I would accept from that Bernie Sanders and his followers, who I think are very focused on sort of taking the country forward and taking us where we need to go in many respects. So, and that group is digging in and doing good work, but otherwise you've got whether it's Clinton, Obama, or Pelosi and Schumer, just irresponsible behavior over the top. Anyway, he said, maybe the Kathy Griffin stunt was to let President Trump know, okay, we missed this time, but we still have you in our sights. Christian Bale, as a young boy, did a movie called Empire of the Sun, where he was a prisoner in a Japanese prison camp during World War II. I remember the boy saying, quote, the most dangerous time is when your captors realize they have lost. You don't know what they're capable of doing. Anyway, we're choking on the absence of transparency as we've become a society. We've so dumbed ourselves down, we've reached a point of non-functionality. And frankly, it's very destructive of our brand in the world. Money in markets, the U.S. dollar clearly now down through the $100 line. It's at 96.59, and it looks like the dollar is certainly broken the $100 line, and it has more to fall. If it breaks 92, then we could be in a whole new paradigm. Coming into the Fed meeting next week, we've got the TLT long treasury now up 6% for the year, intermediate up 3.5%. 2.35% for the year. The bond aggregate up 2.63%, and junk bonds still chuckling and soaring along at 4.38%. Equities, the emerging markets and European markets clearly outperforming the U.S. markets. Some of that is the dollar. S&P now up 9.5% for the year. The home builders up 11.9%. The European ETF up 18.28%. Germany 18.16%. The developed world minus North America 15.5%. And large caps, China 16.45%. Small caps 14.18%. And emerging markets flying at 19%. And that's despite commodities being down almost 8% so far this year. Gold's come up a little bit. It's now up 11.71% for the year. Silver up 10.2%. And oil really in the doghouse, down 23.85%. There is intensity of what is happening everywhere. Reminds me of the title of Richard Haass's article about what was going on 2 years ago. He said he called it the unraveling. Well, it's definitely unraveling, and there's a lot of insecurity as more things unravel. We see North Korea launching more missiles, a major crisis in Qatar. I think if I was national security advisor, that would be number one on my list right now. We talk a lot about this and some of the other events this week with Saker. It'll publish next week, but I just did that interview this morning. It went very long just because there was so much going on and it was a very rich discussion. But we talked in depth about what's happening in Qatar. And there's also a good interview with Lawrence Wilkerson that we've had put up on the website, which I would encourage you to watch as well. Terrorism going on all around the world. Of course, London Bridge, one day before the terrorist events, the conservatives were only up 1%. 3 days afterwards, they're up 11%. And the reality, as long as the trick works, it's going to keep happening. Germany now pulling troops out of Turkey. That's the Germany-Turkey brouhaha. And now we're all waiting for the ECB's forward guidance. And of course, Comey is testifying today. And as I said, if you look at what his statement said, no, they're there, but the brouhaha will be significant. And finally, the terrorism did land in Iran, I think that was a bit of a surprise. And that's a first for the sort of terrorist effort to get into Iran. There's no doubt, and Saker and I talk a lot about this, that there's a real, we now see a real piling on of let's go get Iran. If we bust out of the nuclear agreement with Iran, things could get very dangerous. Anyway, the unraveling is overshooting the leadership's infrastructure to deal with it. First of all, we don't have yet a coherent national strategy or foreign policy as a nation. And a new cabinet is not yet working as a team, nor does it have a lot of its people in place. So when you look at this kind of intensity of events, it's an extraordinary roll of events for a president and their cabinet to deal with, let alone when they have, imagine if they have everything working well and are really working as a team and have worked out all of their policies. It's an overwhelming amount of stuff to deal with, given that they are not in that position. I just can't imagine what the pressure cooker is like. So keep everybody in your prayers, because this is too many hot spots with too much happening. Something can go wrong, and you don't want that to happen. That's how we got into World War I. As I said, the false flags are hot and heavy among all of these things, and they're being used to propose lots more control, with the Brits now calling for sort of global regulation of the internet, not good. At the same time, we see a group of Republicans threatening to withhold intelligence agencies' reauthorizations on all sorts of surveillance. They're very angry and frustrated over the leaking, which is more than appropriate. We've reached a point where it is becoming extremely difficult for a government to function. And U.S. president and leadership cannot talk by phone with their counterparts. There's zero privacy. Everything is leaked, and who knows if the leaks are true. They might as well even be made up. You have no way of knowing. So this is, again, very significantly harmful to the brand. Trump has chosen his new FBI director, Christopher Wray, who has been, was formerly at the Department of Justice. He's been a King and Spalding partner. And one of the reasons I mentioned that, it's the same firm as represented Howard Root. If you haven't heard that great interview with Howard Root, I hope you get a chance to do it. But let's hope that having a King and Spalding partner who knows about his case in there helps him start to get heard at the Department of Justice. Cryptocurrency prices are flying. And in fact, our little team is doing some more. We're going to start posting a little bit more about some of the risk issues on cryptocurrencies and try and follow it more closely. Please beware of the risks. This is a highly insecure, speculative market. The infrastructure is not strong. Please don't get sucked into putting more than you can afford to lose into any of these. But it wouldn't surprise me if the pump and dump and the associated skimming and frauding was going to continue for some time. I wanted to point out again, I've said this before, one of my absolute go-to people on cultural issues has agreed to do a little column twice a month. It's we're giving them a handle if you're a culture scout. It's called Food for the Soul. And we have a new lovely review of Renoir's Boating Party, Luncheon by the Boating Party. So take a look at it. But they'll be recommending art, music, and theater and movies twice a month, and lots of really good sort of. I think they're calling them Scout. Check it out. Let's go to the movies. Wonderful 3-part series from PBS called American Epic. And I can't recommend it to you highly enough, particularly if you like music. It's a very serious decade-long effort by an Irish and American producer together, supported by several people, including Robert Redford, who narrates it. And what it is it describes the effort of a group of people and the Victor Record Company in the 20s to take recording machines and go out into the heartland of America and start to record all kinds of niche and ethnic groups in America. So blues guitarists in the Mississippi Delta, gospel preachers, Cajun fiddlers, Latino and Mexican songstresses, North American Indian drummers, Hawaiian musicians, everything. But it's an unbelievably rich story of the collection of this music and the publishing of this music, the circulation of this music in the 20s and 30s, and the impact it had on American musical traditions. And it's a very joyous reminder of the talent and the power that existed then in America, and I believe from what I know exists today in America. And if you look at the group of people who did this, it was an extraordinary effort. And I just tip my hat to them. Robert Redford did a great job narrating it. It was beautifully written and just a fantastic slice of America. I realized a lot of these records and recordings have ended up in the Sony archive. And one of the things I realized going through this is the Sony archive has contributed a tremendous amount of material to the U.S. Library of Congress, to the Congressional Library, and it's up on the web under American Jukebox. And so a lot of this stuff is accessible for free. It's amazing. Our hero tonight, not surprisingly, is Robert Redford. And I would also include the other producers, directors, and artists involved in making American Epic. Or that American Epic was about. There's some of my favorites are in there. It's when you see someone like Redford make this kind of great contribution with their fame and fortune to something that's really deep and important and lasting, you just want to sit up and cheer and say, that's great leadership. So this is exactly the kind of cultural uplifting that we need to be doing. And I just take my hat off to them. It was an incredible effort at something very, very important. And what a delight to watch it. So again, I recommend it to you. 3-part series from PBS, American Epic. Our interview tonight is Harry Blaser speaking with Anaïs DeVries of the Urban Homestead in Pasadena. This is a family who's seen there plenty of controversy, but they have done a remarkable job of proving what's possible with an urban homestead. And in fact, if you look at what they've been able to do, I believe it's on 1/5 of an acre. It just goes to show you that there's a lot could be done with American landscaping that could really help to address the problems we have with food quality, rising food prices, and how that translates into healthcare problems and healthcare expense. The reason we did it at this time is the Urban Homestead is launching a new podcast series on June 13th. And so rather than bemoan the Fed if they bump interest rates on June 13th, you can listen to the first Urban Homestead podcast. But I think their story helps inspire you of what's possible in your local food system and building your local food system. So for some people, it may be getting out and gardening and doing an edible landscape. For others, it's simply going to the effort of learning about your local farmer markets and your local farmers and how to buy direct, particularly if you have a CSA. Or if you don't, just supporting the restaurants and grocery stores that do. So, and also, when it comes down to politics, encouraging the local hospitals and governments to do the same with institutional and school purchases. And I go on and on, but it is exceptionally important if you look at what's happening in the healthcare system and in the local economy to do everything we can to rebuild our local food systems. I think that can make a tremendous difference where you are. Certainly being in Sydney, Australia, and looking at the wonderful, it's the same as when I'm in Europe, wonderful, wonderful, abundant amount of fresh food and very, very healthy food. Anyway, so check it out. It's a great interview with Harry, and I very much, a big shout out to Harry Blaser for doing it. Ask Catherine, not a lot of questions this week. We were probably exhausted by the extraordinary number of the last 2 weeks. A couple things. Somebody asked me, sent a link on a news article intimating that there was a big deal coming up with the administration possibly prosecuting Clinton. Don't get your hopes up. I wouldn't believe anything until you see someone come out with an indictment. Interestingly enough, Huma Abedin and Weiner are back living together. It wouldn't surprise me if they're not going ahead with a divorce because, in fact, a man and a wife can't testify against each other, and it looks to me like somebody is supporting them, so they will not turn or testify against each other. So something's definitely up there. They're working their way through the different legal process. Now, I'll tell you, there are two things worth taking note of, and I've had them up on the website. First of all, there's a new lawsuit by Linda Ives, who is the mother of Kevin Ives. It's a very famous story coming out of the MENA, Arkansas drug dealing way back in the day and was written up in a book called Boys on the Track by Merrill Levitt. It's highly documented. And the case is against the U.S. government, not against the Clintons, but the Clinton, Bill Clinton is mentioned throughout. And if that thing gets traction, it's just sort of sitting on the judge's desk right now, but if it should get traction or a lot of public support, something could happen. Because that's just a highly documented story by highly reputable people. And what happened was a clear story of good versus evil. Incredible. Check the links out on the website. Then Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of Senate Judiciary Committee, has launched a formal investigation, a new investigation, of Clinton's effort to thwart the Bangladesh government corruption probe of the former head of the Grameen Bank, who was also a Clinton Foundation donor and a friend of the Clintons. And that one could be a real pay-for-play issue around the foundation and could cause a lot of trouble to the Clintons. Anything Chuck Grassley does, I take very seriously. On both of these, it's too early to tell if there's any real damage to be done, but we'll see. And then we got a lot of links from a variety of people, so I want to thank you again for those. Dear Catherine, are there any IRAs you can recommend that would allow you to take physical possession of the gold? Thanks so much. I only know of one instance where I've had a client tell me that their IRA would allow them to do it. It's the only instance I've heard of, and I would not trust it. I don't see how direct possession could work under the rules. I just don't think it could withstand an audit. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with that particular aspect. So if anyone knows differently, I would really appreciate your letting me know. But frankly, until I learn otherwise, I just wouldn't trust that arrangement to pass an audit test. So not for an IRA. Dear Catherine, my wife invested in this new device for changing the effects of EMF on our health. I was wondering if you had heard of it and what you think of it, this, et cetera. So they provided some information. All the questions I got for Jason on the EMF radiation, I've been sending them to Jason and posting the replies in the comment section. So check the comment section for any replies, and I'll just keep doing it. If for any reason we don't get yours up, please make sure to email and let me know. And Jason has agreed to send another box of books. And so we continue to get requests as a result of that audio, of that Solari report for copies of his book, In the Dark, and we'll continue to send them. So let us know, and we'll make them available until that box runs out. And so those were the questions. Can you believe it? Oh, my God, a short Ask Catherine. Okay, that's it. In closing, next week it's the Emerging Multipolar World with Saker, our quarterly interview. This one went way over time. It was long. It was serious. It was very, very rich. A great conversation with Saker. We covered a lot of ground. So we covered pretty much most of the hotspots in the world. So I think you'll really enjoy that one. And it's if you want to understand what's going on in the world, it's invaluable. And then the following week, a great one, Unpacking the Gridlock on Healthcare Reform with John Rappaport. A couple times I've covered all the different obstacles to coming up with an economic healthcare reform at a national level, but I'm learning as I drive around and fly around and talk to subscribers that that's still not understood. So it's very important to me to go through that carefully. And there's no one who understands the ecosystem on this better than John Rappaport. He's the master. Anyway, two really good ones coming up, the Saker, John Rappaport, and then we're going to start diving into the second quarter wrap-up, which is really rich. So great time in Sydney. I'll be posting a commentary probably next week about a lot of great things to do in Sydney. So if you come to the trip with Uluru in May 2018, you definitely want to stop off. You'll probably fly through Sydney or Melbourne, but lots to do in Sydney. I was at the Opera House last night, one of the world's great most beautiful buildings and certainly most beautiful opera houses. Anyway, so that's it for this week. So until next week with the Saker, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there's a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.